Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Yeah. Praise the Lord, everybody. I mean, we are encouraged today to stay with God. That song was in my spirit, so I thought I would open up the show, open up the broadcast with that, and just being just thankful to the Lord that I'm encouraged to stay with God. No matter what the day brings, no matter what it looks like, I'm encouraged to stay with God. And I'm telling you, in this day and time, with everything that's going on, you better stay with Him. I mean, don't stray from Him. I mean, don't give Him up. Don't give up. Don't quit. You better stay with God, because we don't know what the outcome is going to be. But one thing we do know is that God is in control. And if we stay with Him, we're going to be on the winning side. Because He said that He came, Jesus said He came that He might, that we might have life, and we have that more abundantly. So I'm encouraging each and every one of you to stay with God. Don't stray from Him. Don't give up. Don't think that He's not in control. He is in control. Even when you can't trace Him, you got to trust Him. Stay with God and stay prayerful and stay in prayer with every day. I'm telling you, if you haven't been praying, this is a time to start getting in on your knees and getting having communication with God so that you can stay in the right place and that you can be covered and that you will know who God is and not look to man for anything, but look to God for your deliverance, for your thing. What is Psalms 121? It says, I will lift mine eyes into the hills from with coming from my help. My help coming from the Lord. If you need help, it comes from the Lord. Don't look to the left or to the right. Don't look backwards or forwards. But I'm telling you, look up and know that your help comes from the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Prospering Souls broadcast, and we are coming to you today. We're still working on our spiritual gifts, and we're going to talk about divers tongues and the gift of tongues, and hopefully we'll get to talk about prophecy and the discerning of spirits. But we're going to go, so we might go another week, because sometimes we get started and we get to testify about how the goodness of the Lord and how these spiritual gifts have operated in our own lives and how the Lord has, we've seen the manifestation of these gifts come to pass in the church and people being used in the Spirit, using the gifts of the Spirit. And so we're just excited about it, just to teach and to share about it. And we hope that you all have been blessed in your listening to the broadcast and learning more and more about spiritual gifts and how even seeking God on where you're spiritually gifted so you'll know how to operate in the church. Because if we know what our spiritual gift is, then we won't be looking at somebody else thinking, oh, why can't I do this or why can't I do this? But we'll operate in the gifting that God has gave us. We used to have a friend, and she used to tell us, stay in your lane. And so we'll get in our lane and be able to operate in the lane that we're supposed to be driving in and not trying to drive in another lane that is not where we should be. Because when God gave these spiritual gifts for the body of Christ and for the edifying of the church, and so each gift is important. And the wonderful thing about them, they're all given to us by the self-same Spirit, and that's the Holy Ghost. And so we thank God for that. We don't have to say, well, why didn't I get this one? Every one of them is administered by the Holy Spirit. So we're just so thankful today for all that God is doing and His wonderful works and all that God is doing. He's awesome. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So don't get discouraged by what you might hear on the news or what you might hear around you. Trust in Jesus. Trust God. He's the one. The Bible tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our path. So I hope that someone is encouraged today just to stay with God. Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm not sure. I think the Dotsons are on the line. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We thank God for them. They're so faithful in just their ministry. They have a ministry. It's called Lamb's Help Ministry. And I tell you, they are a help to many people. They are always willing to get in there and be a blessing to people. And that's why they're gifted. And you talking about spiritual gifts. Now, they're packed full of them. And so I thank God for each of them. Been using and seeing their gifts work in the church for years. And how God has just anointed them to do many things. And it's just such a blessing to have this power. I call them a power. I think of them as a power couple. I don't know if I've ever called them that, but I think of them as a power couple. Because if you want prayer, if you want to know, because they operate in several giftings. The gift of prophecy is one of both of them operate in, and discerning of spirits, and just the Elder Randy, who has the heart of a pastor. And
I just thank God for them and Sister Phyllis, who is anointed to sing. And I'm telling the whole family sings, saints. And so they are anointed to sing and encourage people, and they have several gifts of healing. I've seen them work. And so we know that they are spiritually gifted, and they operate in those things that God has given them. And so we're just so thankful for them. I'm going to ask Elder Dotson if he will open us up with prayer.
Thank you for that introduction. All glory be to God for the things that he has done. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless you and I praise you for just being God. We thank you. Because every morning we wake, oh God, we say, thank you for being alive. Hallelujah. And you told us, oh God, to speak life. So we speak life to this broadcast. We speak life to every word that is said right now, that it would spark something in the hearer, and that the hearer would do the will of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we come against everything that is not like God. We come against every hindrance. We come against every wall that is placed against the word of God. We bring it down in Jesus' name, that the word of God might be triumphant and victorious in those that hear it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And we're just so thankful. I think when we ended up our last session, we were still talking about the gifts of miracles. And I tell you, God is still working miracles today. He is such a, he's still working miracles today. If you don't know that, then I'm here to encourage you that God can work a miracle in your life. And if we just trust in him, and sometimes that's difficult because, you know, it's not that it's difficult to trust in him, but when we got to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. And sometimes when we see what's going on in front of us, it'll cause us to waver sometimes. But we have to stay strong in the Lord. And I know for myself, I said sometimes that's more easier said than done, because one day you're in faith and the next minute you might be in doubt, but you try to come back to faith. But thank God for the word of God that is richly in you. I'm telling you, if you got to have the word of God down on the inside of you, because when you waver on that other side, then the Lord will bring a scripture or a song in your spirit to help you come on back over to where you need to be. And so I know I've experienced that myself, and that might not be my proudest moments, but those have been my moments, and I'm not ashamed to share them, because sometimes people need to know that, you know, we have these moments. We're human, and we sometimes are in that area, and so we got to make sure that we know who God is and know that he has not forgotten about you, and know that he has, that you can trust him. And I'm telling you, sometimes that's all. And everybody knows me. They said one minute she was there, but then she come back around. So anybody, but I thank God. And I said I was going to share this on the air, because I think sometimes people need to know that God is still working miracles. I had a situation, and I believe in telling the whole story, because when you tell the whole story, then people get the whole visual of what God has done. And so I'm not ashamed of my testimony at all. But I had some financial trouble a couple of years ago, and it caused me to have to file a Chapter 13 so that I could try to keep my house and things like that. And then still having trouble because I had medical conditions going on. I had, you know, job loss going on. And then I got a job. Then another time I got laid off. So a lot of struggles, a lot of medical, a whole lot of things. So I had a lot of financial difficulty, a lot of circumstances that was surrounded around that Chapter 13. And then here this year, last year, about June, I was working contract positions, and the contract ended. And all year long, I searched and searched and searched and put in resumes, went to interviews, second interviews, third interviews. All of those things were going on, and still hadn't found a job yet. And so I had to end up switching my 13 to a 7. And so in that situation, car that I had at the time was within the bankruptcy, because at the time I felt like that was the best thing to do to keep my expenses low so that I could keep paying the other things that I needed to pay. And so I put it in there because the Chapter 13 payment was going to be the same as the car payment. So I thought, okay, well then I'll just still have that same payment and won't have anything difficult. But anyway, when you file a Chapter 13, they lower your interest rate. And so the interest rate goes from, it went from like 18% to 5%. And so technically they paid the car off in the Chapter 13 and they paid 5% interest. But when I switched it from a 13 to a 7, the finance company has every right to come after the car for that interest, for that excess interest that they didn't, the reduced interest that they did not get. And so when they sent me a notice about it, I began to pray about it because I didn't have it. And so I said, Lord, I'm asking you to help me and to take care of me. And sometimes we want God to do it our way. And so when he doesn't do it our way, then we feel like that he didn't hear our prayer. And so it can cause us, especially when you already feel like you're in a bad situation, sometimes it causes you to feel like, well, you know, maybe he's not hearing my prayer. Maybe not, when he heard it all the time. And so, and the thing about it was, so they came, it was the way they did it, I think, that was most hurtful, because you know how they can do, they can, what they did was I said I was going to do taxes this year, and so they called me, and a lady called me and asked me about doing her taxes. She went through a whole story, you know, the taxes, or, you know, I got 8 years worth of taxes to do, and my mom is sick, and my mother is sick, and she's in the hospital, and I'm having to deal with that. And my fiance said he wasn't going to marry me because I'm $60,000 worth of tax debt, and I got to get this situated so I can, you know, get it straightened out so I can get married. I mean, she went through a whole scenario and asked me could I come and meet her so she can give me that tax paperwork. And so I told her I could, and then I was going to meet her at one place, and then another person that does have a tax office told me, said, no, let her meet us here. And so I gave her, texted her address about that, and so she was still texting me, telling me, oh, I'm on my way, I'm in traffic, you know, I'm was on the phone with the doctor. All this was still going on. And come to find out, it was all a setup, and what they did was when I pulled into the tax office, got out of the car, and I went upstairs, happened to look out the window, and they came and got my little car. And I was just so disappointed because I went out there, and I was trying to stop that situation, but they said, no, we wasn't going to work with you. We wasn't going to let you make arrangements to pay it off or nothing. It wasn't none of that going on, and so they took it. And so for a couple of weeks, I was without transportation. And if anybody knows, if you're in Texas, you got in this area, in the DFW area, you have to have transportation. It's not, I don't even live in an area where public transportation is, and so you have to have transportation. And so just the whole ordeal of a different experience for me, having to, you know, ask people, can I use your car, and, you know, and all these different things. And so, and somebody said, well, maybe you're being prideful. I don't really think I was being prideful. It's just I don't like to bother people. And that's my thing, and I like to be independent and everything like that. But I asked people to use their car. I had to catch the lift to go to work and give me a Lyft driver, and I went to work, and I did what I could, and, you know, and I had to pay for that, and I just really didn't have no money because, remember, I still technically don't have, I don't have the income that I once had, let's say that. Technically being a substitute teacher, and if any teachers or anybody knows that kind of salary, it's not that much of a salary, more like $75 a day. And so when you make used to making almost four times, that can be somewhat difficult. And so there's a lot of transition going on. But nevertheless, the Lord blessed me that last week, even the driver that had begun to come pick me up, and I'm trying to wait for our other speakers to get on the line, but anyway, I'm going to keep and finish my testimony, then we're going to go on to driver's tongue. And he told me, he said, it was a Wednesday, and I was about out of money. One of the saints had put some money in my hand, and that helped me to get to work that week. And he told me, he said, I got out of Wednesday, he brought me home, he said, get out of my car, he said, don't you pay me nothing. He said, God told me just to be a blessing to you. He said, and don't miss a day of work. He said, tomorrow, take your assignment, and I will come pick you up and drop you back off. And I just burst into tears, because sometimes you don't know, you know, when you feel like you're just kind of by yourself, and you know you're not by yourself, but sometimes the enemy can make you feel like that. I just was so thankful that the Lord, that he blessed me like that, and I was so thankful for that. And then a young lady, I guess I went out there, and you know how you put your, looking for a car, and they put your information in, so then they start calling you, and they called me about a car, and I told her, I said, look here, I don't have no down payment, and I'm a substitute teacher. I said, substitute teacher. I said, that's all the income I have coming in. I don't have no unemployment. I don't have anything. And I told them that, and they told me, oh, we can work it out, so come on out here. So Saturday came, and I called the lady. I said, well, I don't even have a way out there. She said, well, I'll come pick you up. I said, oh, okay. And so, but then she called back and said she wasn't going to be able to do that because she had a client. But she told me if I could find somebody to pick me up, they would give them a full tank of gas. And so I did that. So one of the saints took me, and they were blessed to get a full tank of gas. And so then they left me. They got their gas and went on. And I got tipped. I said, well, Lord, I'm going to need to get a car. They're going to take me back home. But anyway, the Lord worked it out, and the man came in. He told me, he said, now we got to look at this income. I said, sir, I told y'all before I came out here, I had no down payment. I said, I don't have no trade-in. And I said, I got a substitute salary. Y'all told me to come on out. He left again and came back, and he told me these words. He said, my father was a substitute teacher. I said, and he said, and then he became a teacher. He said, and now he's a principal. And he said, I'm gonna make sure this. He said, I'm gonna make it happen. And he left out again. Next thing I know, they was coming in to get me to go to finance. And I went in really with the intentions that I was gonna get a used car. That's what I was out there looking for. And the girl asked me what kind of car I want. I went to tell her about that. It was a Nissan Sentra used one and a Honda Civic that was a used one, because I was trying to stay in a certain price range and all of that. And so anyway, and I ended up walking away from there with a brand new 2017 Honda Civic. And I thank the Lord for that, because I said, evidently God has something different. Well, evidently God has something different in store for me that I didn't know. So when I think he didn't answer me, he really did answer me. He heard my prayer, but he had a different way than what I wanted to do. Sometimes we got to be open to what God wants us to have and not so much worried about what we're trying to figure out. And what he showed me was that he can operate outside the norm. The process for anybody in their thought process would be, I got this job, and I make this amount of money so I can get me a new car. And that was my thought process. I had to have all these ducks in a row in order for God to bless me. But God showed me I can bless you outside of what you think. So I thank God for that. And I'm so thankful that he showed me something different and showed me something, because then that helped my faith to increase as well. Because I feel like, well, I'm not even worried about how the rest of it's going to come out, because he ain't going. One thing I know the Bible says, he said, the blessings of the Lord make it rich, and they add no sorrow with it. So I just wanted to tell that testimony to talk about, because that was a miracle for me. Because I'm telling you, I'm going to say it one more time, a substitute salary, and I got a brand new car. So I thank God for that, and I thank God for just blessing me. And my pastor had been preaching favor in the famine, so I felt like that was favor in the famine. And so I was able to connect that with the word of God that has been being preached to us over the last month or so. Anyway, does anybody have anything to say about that before I move on to these divers' tongues?
Yes. The scripture that came to me was thank God that the Lord always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus, and that he makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. See, when people look at you, they'll know it was God that did it, and he'll do it in every place. So I thank God for your testimony. I thank God for what I heard you say, that he doesn't answer the way you want to. Today, our pastor preached a beautiful sermon about how God, people think that God is not speaking when the Lord did speak to you about something. But then it seems like when you're walking through it, it turns a different way. Like he was in Judges, how they inquired the Lord, should we go up against Benjamin? And the Lord said, go up against Benjamin. And when they went to him and fought him, and this is like civil war, internal war, and they asked God, and Benjamin killed 18,000 of them. Nope, they went back again, and they inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said, do it again. And they went, and Benjamin killed 12,000 of them. Then they came back. They were crying and weeping and fasting. But they asked the Lord again, What do we do? Do we go? And the Lord said, go again, because I will surely deliver them in your hand. And you know what? I like that, because they didn't stop. They didn't stop. 18,000 people dying, that would make me say, that wasn't God, I'm through. But they knew the voice of God, and that was a blessing. And that's what you did. It didn't seem like it, you know. you probably felt like, boy, am I doing the right thing here? What am I doing? God's not speaking. But you held on. Even though you felt like you wasn't in a place that you wasn't supposed to be or felt like you should have been in, God still moved on your behalf because you belong to him. And I'm so thankful for that. Thankful for that testimony. So encouraging.
Thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord. And thank you for that word. That was a good word. It made me think about that this too. Sometimes when we go through something, I'm telling you, when you start going through stuff, you begin to examine yourself. You be thinking, Lord, let me see, I must be doing something. And even though sometimes it ain't that you're doing something wrong, but you get yourself straight because you go to repenting for everything you think of you might be wrong. And that's kind of funny, I know. But I think about that sometimes. Sometimes we just really begin to examine ourselves because in anything. And one thing else I learned too, and I had to really get to this point because I can start fussing about stuff because you know I think sometimes I go back to that spoiled mentality that you know you think, well, I done done this and Lord, why won't you do this and I won't, and so I have to really really begin to pray about that and so that I won't do that. And I'm telling you, I had to really pray about that, and I had to wait, because then you feel like, well, nobody's helping me. Sometimes God don't want nobody to help you, because he needs to do it for you. He wants to do it, because he, at the end of anything, he is our provider. And so sometimes when we want people to interject, I think of that the same way that Abraham went with Sarah went and got the bondswoman, and she interjected because she wasn't willing to wait for God to bring forth the promise seed. And so sometimes we can't want to seek other ways because we really need God to do the promise and not get the promise by ways that we try to manipulate to do it. And so that was something else that I learned, that don't worry about, and I prayed real hard, don't let me charge God foolishly. Don't let me charge anybody else foolishly, and let me make sure. And then today, Bishop Jackson's preaching, and one thing he said today, he said this, and it was such a blessing to me. You can't always, when you are a sower, when you are a giver, you can't look for the people that you're sowing into or the people that you're giving to always give back to you. He said, because then it's tit for tat. He said, God got another way that he'll bless you. Stop looking at it from that perspective and understand that God will give seed to the sower. If you are a sower, he going to give you seed. It might not come from the people that you once sowed into. That's not how it always goes. And so we have to think about that. And then another person said this to me too, and this was a blessing. This has been way before any of this happened. He said, the Bible says, give and it shall be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And we say that a lot. We say that particular scripture, but we sometimes don't finish it when it says, but he will cause men to give into your bosom. So we got to make sure that we understand it. And it may not be the people that you know. It might be somebody totally different than who it is that you would even imagine would ever be a blessing to you. So we have to understand, we lift our eyes into the hills from whence cometh our help. God has sent us the help we need. Might not be in the place then from the people that we think it should be from, because we were a blessing to them, but it'll be from somebody else. And that was such a blessing to me too, as well. Does anybody have anything they want to say about this? I guess this might be something else. We might go back to today. Anybody
well,
else have anything they want to share? We can continue to talk about the shared blessing, because sometimes people need to know that God is still working things out in the lives of his people, no matter what it looks like in the world today. God is still moving.
And to say that God blessed you in an unexpected way, who would have thought that the car dealers and total strangers would be a blessing to you and work on your behalf?
Yes. Because, I mean, they worked that, because I wasn't getting ready to say I had income. I told them subs, I kept giving them that word, substitute salary. That don't mean that you work every day. That's not what that means. But the Lord is faithful in who he is. And so it was a blessing to me. And I know he's not done, because God has done so many things in my life. And when I really started thinking about it, I said, you cannot say that God has not blessed you, because he's always been there for me. And I think it was Elder Poston that reminded me one time. I think somebody was saying, well, how's she going to make it? And he said, the Lord always takes care of her. And I remember when he said that, and sometimes that comes up in my spirit. But I tell you, but when you're in an inward fight, and when I'm telling you, you're in an inward fight, and you got the enemy, like he gave an example just a few minutes ago, how you know that little cartoon with a little devil on one side and an angel on the other side, and you got everybody speaking in your ear, and 1 minute you're over here because you're looking at the situation. One thing we have got to do, and we have got to get this in our spirit, and we have got to live like this. We have to walk by faith and not by sight. And so many times I kept looking at what was going on, which would cause me to go on this other side, but then the Lord would put something in my spirit. And I'm telling you, I was in an inward fight about a lot of things, because there's a lot of things going on. Because when you continuously are getting rejected by, I mean, that can weigh you down and weigh you down. I'm not giving an excuse for it, but that's just a normal human reaction. And when you keep going after things that you know you're qualified for, and they keep saying, no, we're going to pass. No, we're going to pass. And I'm telling you, when you go for stuff that you know you ought to be able to do, and they pass on you too, like if you're going to your part-time job and you can't get a part-time job, that all can do something to you, but you got to keep your faith up and try to say, okay, well, evidently that ain't where God wants me to go, so you have to look at it from that direction. And so it's been an inward fight for me, and I'm human enough to admit that. But I mean, I'm determined to stay with God. Anybody have anything they want to say about any of that? If not, we're going to start talking about these divers tongues. And so we're still on our spiritual gifts, and we're coming down to the end of this, and we got, I think, like I said, prophecy, discernment of spirit, and Elder Timberlake and Elder Russell talk about them, but I'm going to talk about the gift of tongues and the divers tongues. When I first got introduced to the gift of tongues is when I got the Holy Ghost. And I remember I had been tearing for the Holy Ghost. I got baptized in Jesus' name over at Zion Tabernacle. And I remember tearing for the Holy Ghost that night. I remember tearing that night. And I tell you, they would have me back in there. Oh, G-G-G-G-G. You know how they used to do G-G-G-G-G. We back here calling on Jesus. And I called on Jesus so much that I got tired. And I started going, Jesus. They said, you done got tired? Come on. And they was, I was wild when I left out of there. But I didn't get it that night. And so anyway, I kept going, and I started going over to Cathedral Praise. And I remember even with tearing for the Holy Ghost over there. And I remember that. And I remember one time Sister Phyllis and Sister Kathy was down there working with me. They was down on that floor, and I was praying. And I was calling on the Lord. And they got up from there, and they said, she has stammering lips. And they went on back to their seat. I remember that. And then it wasn't too long after that. I remember being in that prayer line. And I remember going up through the prayer line, and I kept saying, I needed a job, because at the time I was working, and I was making $3.35 an hour, and I really needed a better-paying job at the time. Here we go to a job again, better-paying job at the time. And through that prayer line, I was way in the back of the line to it. And we were going up, and he said, get in your mind what you want, God, what you want from God. And I remember hearing he kept saying that. He was praying for people. And I remember this was my bad. I kept switching back and forth. I kept saying, I want the Holy Ghost. Then I said, oh, Lord, I need a job. I want the Holy Ghost. And all the way up that line, that's what I was battling back and forth with. I need a job. I need the Holy Ghost. I need a job. I need the Holy Ghost. And when I got up there to the thing, I said that determined I was going to ask the Lord for a job because I need a job. And when I got up there, I said, I need the Holy Ghost. And they began to work with me. And I remember seeing Jesus on the cross. But then I saw Jesus go up. This is what I saw while I was up there tearing. While I was up there, they was praying for me. I was tearing for God. And when I saw him go up, then I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave me the other. And I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And that was my experience of it. And so that was my first experience with speaking in tongues. And if we would look at in Acts, that's where that particular scripture is found. If you look at Acts 2, is it 2 and... I'll come back to Corinthians. But and I'm going to talk about that just for a minute. Just going to read that particular scripture. I'm going to look at Acts 2 and I found it 2 and 30 something, I think, anyway. But Acts 2, here we go. It talks about, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That was one of the things. That was my first experience with the gift with the Holy Ghost. And then it says the gift of tongues is used for prayer, and it's used for as we pray in our prayer language, we're usually praying in tongues, and then the gift of tongues is also used for the edifying of the body of Christ. And the gift of tongues, now to me, it's two different things. It was the filling of spirit, but the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and one of the signs of it for me was speaking in other tongues. But then there is a gift of tongues, which is given to us by the Spirit of God. And it says, the gift of tongues is the divine strength or ability to pray in heavenly language to encourage your spirit and to commune with God. The gift of tongues is often accompanied by interpretation and should be used appropriately. And so the gift of tongues is usually utilized for the body of Christ. It says, since the days of the early church, some spiritual gifts have caused confusion and controversy, and these are some of the ones that have caused controversy, because a lot of times people are speaking in tongues, but the other people around them don't know what you're saying. And so when you're speaking in a group of people and you're speaking in other tongues, it should be accompanied with the interpretation of tongues, so that those that are amongst you will be able to get clarity of what you're saying, so that it can be used to that. And so that's why the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues work together, because they have to, when you're speaking in tongues, you're getting something from God, but then the interpretation gives what God gave you to the other people in their own language. And so that is one of the things that the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues does. Does anybody have any comments to that before I go any further? So then the purpose of the gift of tongues, we see first the gift of tongues on the day of Pentecost, and then it says, then we see it again in Acts 2 and 5, it says, so it talks about that, and I just read that. And then, but anyway, two important facts are revealed here. The gift of tongues was the ability to speak in a language other than the one that had been naturally acquired. And so when you're speaking in the gift of tongues, you're not really speaking in English. If you're an American, you speak English, so you wouldn't the gift of tongues wouldn't come through you in English. It would come to you in something else. And so that was one of the things that happened. It said Galileans were speaking in various languages throughout the unknown world, because when they were at the day of Pentecost, there were people there from every place, and those people began to hear them speak in tongues in their language when they were not the person that really spoke in that language. And so then it says, secondly, this caused those listening to question why and how. Paul answers these questions in 1 Corinthians 14, and it says, 1 Corinthians 14 and 21, it says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto the people, and yet for all that will they not hear, saith the Lord. And then the 22nd verse says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. So when they begin to speak with the other tongues, even on the day of Pentecost, those were for the non-believers, and because they began to hear the works of the goodness of the Lord and that in a language spoken by people that were not from there, they began to repent and give their heart to God. So those non-believers gave their lives to God, and even on that day they said over 3,000 came to God and were baptized and were filled with the Holy Ghost on that day. And then it said tongues are for the sign, not for them that believe, but to them that believe not. The Spirit used the gift of tongues as a sign to confirm the authenticity of the apostles and the message they were about to preach. When non-believers at Pentecost began to question what was happening, Peter responded by saying, and this is Acts 2 and 32, Acts 2 and 32, and it said, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear." And so the gift of tongues on the day of Pentecost was simply for the purpose of gaining the non-believers' attention and to cause them to question so that the apostles might preach to them the gospel. Anybody have anything they want to talk about, say, on that? So then as we continue to read through the book of Acts, we see that the Spirit using this gift as a means of confirmation on other occasions. In Acts 10, the Spirit led Peter to the home of the Gentile named Cornelius. And like all the Jews of this day, Peter was apprehensive about entering the home of a Gentile, yet he obeyed. As a result, many came to know Christ that day. And then as a confirmation to Peter and the Jewish brethren with him, the Gentiles could be saved as well as the Jews, the Spirit caused the new Gentile converts to speak in tongues. And so that's Acts 10 and 44. It says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word." And in 45, and they of the circumcision which believed there were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. 46, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Then answered Peter, 47, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And so, and then later in Acts 19, we find the gift of tongues used again for confirmation. Paul came upon a group of men who were disciples of John, and they had been baptized with John's baptism of repentance. But we got to remember that even John said, he said that there's one coming mightier than I that will baptize you not only with water, but also with the Spirit. And so, and that's what, and then he says, and not, it says, "but not yet in the name of Jesus Christ." So they had been baptized with John's baptism, but they hadn't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So Paul preached unto them Jesus and afterwards baptized them in Christ's name. And as a result, they spoke in tongues. Again, the gift of tongues was used as a means of confirming authenticity of the gospel message. And so does anybody have anything they would like to add to that? So there was, okay, so then we get to the 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." So tongues and the Holy Spirit go hand in hand because they're given to us through the Holy Spirit. Does anybody have anything they want to say about that? Then it says the gift of tongues more important than others. The second issue that Paul addressed was that certain spiritual gifts are not to be considered more important than others. And so sometimes people, you know, they want to put a classification on the gifts of the Spirit. But all the gifts of the Spirit are important because just like a body works, like your body works, your hand work needs the fingers in order to be there to be functional, right? So you can have, and then your legs need the feet to be able to stand on. If you just had the ankle there and not the feet, then it wouldn't work it wouldn't work as it should. Or if you didn't have your five senses, you know, so that your eyes can see and so that your nose can have the sense of smell and your tongue can have the sense of taste, all of these things work together. You can have a tongue, but then if you don't have the sense of taste there, you couldn't taste anything. So just like the gifts of the Spirit, All of it works together for the body of Christ, for the edifying, for the kingdom of God, and for the edifying of the church and for the body of Christ. All of these gifts are important. So that's why it's important that nobody thinks, oh, well, I just have the gift of administration, or, oh, I just have the gift of mercy, or I just have, no, all the gifts are necessary. God designed it that way so that the body of Christ could function. Does anybody have anything they would like to add to that?
Amen. I would like to add that it's to bring us into the perfect man, which is a man that grows into maturity. To be mature in God, these things must come about, but so that there is nothing that gets past you, that God can use you in any area dealing with his spirit and dealing with his people. There is going to be so many things that happen in a church or happen on the outside or happen when you go to minister in different places where you need to know that God can move in such a way and that your spirit will be, how can we say, sensitive to the conditions that are around. God wants you to be sensitive to his speech. He wants you to be sensitive to the spirit that is moving, and he wants you to be sensitive so that your discernment can pick up anything so you can minister. It's all about ministering to the body. If we were placed in a box and we could only do, and we were limited at what we could do, we could not be a service. We cannot be of service to God's people. But when we have these gifts of the Spirit, we don't operate in a box. God could use us at any point and in whatever capacity he feels we need to minister to a body has, and then we can minister to everyone, not just a select few. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Elder Dodson. Anybody else have anything they want to add to? Okay, well, then we'll continue on. When we think about tongues today, let's think about it in today's perspective, because we know that it was used mightily in that time period where it was for those that were did not believe. I still feel that it's used the same way today. And does anybody have any comments about that?
Yes, ma'am, I do. You're talking about a subject that is shied away from. And the reason that it's shied away from is because people can't explain it to the capability of, you know, bringing in some kind of realization to the body of Christ. But what is real is God is real. And what we need to know and what we need to do is trust him. Jesus was speaking at one time and he said, the wind blows, but can you tell me from which direction? There's going to be some things that are unexplainable. But you need to trust God. That he fills you with the Holy Ghost. And when you are filled with that Holy Ghost, you don't care where it came. I mean, you know that it came from heaven because it's glorious. But at the point of receiving it, you're so glad that you got it, you know. It comes to a point where you just need to trust God and believe that he has your betterment and your care in mind. And if he had not have died, we would be lost. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is anybody else
Elder Dodson, when you mentioned and talk about trusting God, one of the things that the Lord has shown me and given me is you have two options. You either going to trust him or you're not. Now, when you say you're not going to trust him, you saying it's within your power to bring about what you need.
Amen.
Now, you know that ain't true. But when you trust him, okay, the odds may be insurmountable, or the facts may say that this is not a passable test. But the truth of the matter is what God says about it in his word. So even though, this is what I told somebody the other day, well, I don't say, don't trust your feelings will lie to you. You got to go by the facts. Well, I don't feel, your feelings will lie to you. So, you know, okay, well, I'm not going to argue with you. You got two choices. Either you're going to trust it or you're not. And if you're not, then that means you can fix it. But if you're going to trust it, you have to calm your spirit down and wait for him to do what you are waiting on him to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's become that simple for me since I've been down here. Okay, I ain't got no other choice. I got two choices. Whether it's the trusting that he's going to fill me with the Holy Ghost, or either he trusting that he's going to heal me, trusting that he's going to provide for me, any of the things that I need from God to do, I got to trust him. Well, I don't know about this time. Well, this is an example of one of the things he gave me. Whatever you face in the day is not the first test you're going to ever face. So if he brought you through whatever you were going through before you got to this point, that should have been a building and a stepping stone for you to be able to trust him in what you're facing right now. I don't know.
Amen.
I might have got off subject, but anyway, amen.
One thing we need to say, that when you are tired of dealing with the flesh, and when you are tired of dealing with the problems in this world, when you have run out of options, nothing's left but the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
So what you're hearing now is people witnessing that have ran out of options. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Is this Elder Timberlake or Elder Russell on the line?
Elder Russell is. I'm sorry. I got the time mixed up.
Oh, no, that's okay. Right on time. We can keep right on going, because if you're ready to talk about, we've just been talking about divers tongues. I started out with testimony, and then I've been talking about the gift of tongues and the divers tongues. And so if you're ready, we'll hand it over to you and let you go.
Okay. So we're going to what time? I'm trying to time myself.
Well, I set it for a length of time, and so you got 20 minutes, and then
okay.
And if anybody has to excuse themselves, I understand.
Uh-huh.
But we have that much more time. Yeah.
Okay.
And then you'll pick back up next week.
Okay. Okay, well, praise the Lord. Okay. Well, I'm going to be talking about today prophecy. Prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be my subject. And I did quite, I'm trying to get my notes together in my head. As you know, prophecy is, if someone called to be the voice of God, and there will be speaking what God has given them to speak, it's for the other individual, and to be a prophet. If you know if you're called real prophet, you have to be confident first to be confident that God has called you in this office. And many people have been called, but they're not real sure of the office of the office, and so they go looking here and there, trying to find answers. But really, you don't really have to go. Just wait on God. You have to be in your heart to be worthy of the call, and you first need to be confident that God has called you. And then once you are sure, you can count the cost and decide whether or not to embrace the spiritual battle that lies ahead. You know, some people look at the office of prophecy as something to have a title, but that office is a very sincere office that you're gonna walk into. And and you know, perhaps you have received a prophetic word announcing your calling. And I don't know, from another prophet. And it could well have been an authentic word. But take the time to look further for further confirmation, because this is a serious office. You're representing God. You represent what God is saying. You want to make sure that you're not saying what you want to say, but you're saying what God has called you to say. As I was reading, I read one part that says that sometimes when you feel like you've been called as a prophet, you know, sincere believers, they go on a spiritual goose chase for gifts and callings that Jesus did not impart. So you want to make sure again that you were called to be in that office. And really, if you're called, God is going to let you know if you're calling. There's more than one way to know that you've been called. The church, your church that you're in, can also authenticate that you are, if there is someone that is a known prophet, you know, that has been in that gift, in that office a long time. And many times they can acknowledge the fact that you have that gift. In James, in King James Version 4:1, Paul urges us to walk worthy of the vocation of our calling. And somewhere along I read that if you're called as a prophet, you would almost consider it an occupation. You cannot turn the instinct to stand in the office of the prophet. You cannot turn off the instinct to stand in the office of the prophet any more than a physician can turn off the instinct to help people heal. If you're called to that prophetic ministry, you will walk in the revelatory gifts as a way of life, not just occasionally. You will feel the unction to walk in the prophetic gifts. You will feel the unction to walk in this prophetic gift counsel. It's not something that you do here and there, but it's something that's a part of your life. And the purpose, of course, of prophecy, it is to reveal the heart and mind and will of God. And that's and number one, is to reveal the heart and mind of God. You know, it's more than just prophesizing over people in prayer lines. It is more than having dreams, visions, angelic visions. Four more modern-day prophets are always formers, like John the Baptist. Prophetic ministry should bring a positive change in hope. A Reformation mindset is part of what it means to be prophetic. Prophets have a reformation in their DNA. If you are called as a prophet, you will feel moved to root out and to call and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. Is Sister Timberlake on the phone? Intense spiritual warfare will be a frequent reality in your life. You will have a sense of knowing that you have been called to walk in a narrow path than those around you. You will feel a sense of duty to honor God and will be crushed with godly sorrow when you misstep. So this is something that you want to take some fear. Many are called. Well, let's just say fear of chosen, but as we know that Jeremiah, when he was called to be a prophet, you know, it's something he didn't really want to do. He didn't feel like that he was capable of doing a walking in that office. But of course, God told him that He created him. He made his mouth and whatever he needs to do that he'd be able to do it, and that God would be that he would be right there with him to do it, to speak what God had to say. Jeremiah was a priest when the Lord came to him with urgency to carry a message to the people of Israel. The word of the Lord came to him saying, "Before I form you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And I appoint you as a prophet in the nation." But Jeremiah said, "Oh, sovereign God, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." Jeremiah, like Moses, felt that God made a mistake. God has chosen the wrong person to be a prophet. But the Lord said to him, "Do not say, 'I am an only child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you to do. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you." So if God gives you a prediction that doesn't come true, do not be discouraged. That doesn't mean that it won't come later. It may come true later. You may have misunderstood what God has said. It's a possibility that you could have. And also, in our churches, there are some reluctance in allowing the prophets to go forth. And which is not a good thing, because it is something that the church needs to know the heart of God, what God is saying to us, and the time that we live in now, we do need a true prophet, a prophet that has the heart of God, that wants to speak what God has said. Has given to us to tell the people. So that is something that we really do need to be in prayer about, that they were able to give out for thus says the Lord. I read a little something about a lady that was a prophet. She's a known prophet. And she had an encounter, and I'd like to just read this to you if we have time. She had a vision. She said she had a vision about 12 years ago during a conference at her church. It was a type of vision where your whole world disappears and you find yourself in another reality. And this person's name, let me tell you, her name is Jennifer Eivaz, and she is a well-known prophet. Inside the vision, an angel came with a large scroll and a pen. I'm guessing the scroll to be 4 feet wide, feet long, with writings on the front and back. I could not decipher the writing. Are you still there? Hello?
Yes, we're here.
Yes, we're here.
Oh, yeah. I thought my phone had shut off. I could not decipher the writing, and there was a space at the bottom of the scroll waiting for a signature. I'm not sure how I knew, but in the vision, I understood that I needed to sign the scroll. I also knew by instinct that I was signing on the call to my call as a prophet to the nation. Even though it was a dream, a vision, she knew that the vision was showing that she was called to be a prophet. In the vision, she said, the call to be a prophet was plain. In real life, I had never considered it before. I even aspired to it. I signed the scroll and communicated back to the angel saying, I've signed your contract. Now what? The angel quickly corrected me saying, it's not a contract. It's a covenant. And I'll be back. As she said, as she came out of the vision, there was one of the conference speakers standing over me. I don't know when it happened, but I was not flat on my back on the floor. She was very enthusiastic and began shouting, you are a prophetess of God. You are called to the nation. I still didn't know what to make of this, of all this. I'm a prophet now. What does that mean? What can I do? The experience did not yield the beginnings of a new anointing and authority in my life. It also launched me into some mighty adventures in God, as well as some shocking spiritual warfare. So there are many ways I believe that we are called. Like she was called in a vision, but then one of the conference speakers acknowledged that she was, but in that vision, she knew that she had been called and God had called her. I remember, I don't believe that I'm a prophet, but I had, when I was just reading the information, I remember that I had a vision, and it was just as clear as day. I'm sure many of y'all have had visions, and I was sitting high up, as though I was on the top of a very high, high cliff. And as I looked around, I was standing there. As I looked around, I saw this man come forth, and he was about maybe 5'9". He had a short sleeve shirt on, hush puppy shoes, looked like brown corduroy pants, and big bushy hair. And as I was looking at the person, I knew that I was seeing a vision. I knew this was something from God. I saw him as he walked, and as he walked between two trees. There were two trees there. They were looked like they could have been oak trees. They were little small, glistering silver looking leaves. I see them now. When I see them, I think about the vision. And he walked through the two trees, and he disappeared. And I lay there just wondering what God was showing me. And then the vision opened up again. He began to walk back through the two trees. And as I was looking at him, he was walking back in the direction that he was going. When he got to the end of the cliff, just like my spirit just zoomed, it's just like I went right there at the end of the cliff. And when I looked over, you could see the cities burning with fire all over. They were burning with fire. You could see the smoke and the fire just burning. And fear hit me as I looked at that. And then the Lord just kind of brought me back to myself. And I thought about that. When I thought about that vision, I thought, well, what was that about? Yeah, I believe that God is saying, I'm with you now. I'm with you now. But soon my back will be turned, and then there will be destruction with fire and burning. Now, I'm not saying that it's prophetic or whatever, but I know that it was a it was a vision from God. And maybe some of y'all have had some encounters regarding prophecy. Have any of y'all had any of those encounters? Hello? Hello?
No,
yes,
we're
here. Oh, okay.
I think,
yes.
You know, like, I think I had testified one other time that I feel like, and I really don't feel, I never have really felt like that I had the gift of prophecy, but I feel
yeah.
like I have a gift of discernment. But anyway, but sometimes I feel like people, when I'm talking to people about stuff, they feel like it's prophetic. Okay, so, but
yeah.
I have had encounters with the Lord or with the enemy's attack, I guess, and the Lord will work it out. I remember, you know, seeing myself in a vision where
uh-huh.
I was ministering to people, and I even remember seeing myself. I kept flying up above, and I was going. It was like I couldn't come down. I couldn't get myself back to the ground, but I was
uh-huh.
up in the air, going to and fro. And so those are the kind of things that I've had. I'm not sure if those
yeah.
are prophetic or that was just God calling me and allowing
uh-huh.
me and letting me know that this is the place that I'm calling you to minister to people. And so I feel like those were my encounters on that. And like I said, what other time when the enemy came tried to attack me, and I remember calling on Jesus, and the enemy went away from that attack, trying to keep me. I couldn't speak, I couldn't move, I couldn't do anything. But
uh-huh.
when I called, when I thought the name of Jesus, I couldn't speak, so I was thinking Jesus, and
uh-huh.
the enemy flee that
uh-huh.
time. That time, but I remember seeing myself, you know, ministering to people up, you know, ministering to people, and then there was times where I kept flying in the air, and I kept saying, what is that
uh-huh.
about? And I would ask God that, and even when people would tell me dreams, and I could give an interpretation of those dreams, but I feel like I have other gifts that I feel like I know that these are the ones God has called me to, or has given
uh-huh.
me, but the Bible says this, he said, covet the best gifts, but pray that you may prophesy. That's one thing that Chris Scripture does say to us, that if we
uh-huh.
don't have that gift, that we can pray that we have that gift so that it can
uh-huh.
edify the body of Christ. We have to think
no,
about
no.
what it's for, and it is to edify the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And, you know, I feel like the closer you get to God, the closer you connect to the Holy Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life. The closer the enemy is going to come. And I think I did share that I had that same type of experience that you had, and that I couldn't move. And then last week I had that same thing happen to me. It was a very strong encounter. And it was stronger than it was the last time. And I did the same thing. I kept just calling on the name of Jesus, just calling on. But it took a while to get free of it. So I thought, Lord, what is this? You know, what kind of text are these? You know, but I knew that the name of Jesus, it's just something about his name that whatever is around you, it's going to have to go. It's got to go. And I don't believe I have a gift of prophecy, but it's just that we have, I guess, prophecy and discernment is so close. You know, and so it's just something we just got to pray about. The office of a prophet is from Jesus Christ. That's in Ephesians 4:11. It is a leadership role with designated authority. When Jesus calls you to the office of a prophet, there will be some type of spiritual encounter where it will be made plain to you. And we want to know if we are. We don't want to run around constantly trying to be reinforced that we are a prophet, or am I a prophet? If you really have the office of prophet, you can expect the church, well, they said the church to let it confirm you, they're calling by revelation, but, you know, like I say, many times the church has moved away from that, you know, you don't see it very much these days. A church accepting you as a prophet is usually progressive in nature, but you can call it not something you have to announce or demand. That means you don't have to announce it or demand it. If you've been called, you've been called, and God's going to make a way for you to speak what he has said. Just like, for instance, we think about Apostle Paul. he received his call in a vision on the road to Damascus, and that's Acts 9. His ministry was later confirmed and progressively received by the church. People who are prophetically gifted often mistake their giftings as a call to the office. They're not the same thing. Others call themselves prophets because they call themselves prophets because the title elevates them. And, of course, you know, God wants to stay humble. You know, he don't want us to elevate ourselves. He wants to be able to, you know, trust us and use us and not for us to get into our own flesh. The spirit realm knows, and you can't manufacture an anointing that isn't true because people around you know when there is an anointing. It's just something. It's like kinship, you know. You have that certain anointing. I know as a nurse, sometimes when I have patients come to my office, it's just like we know one another, you know. We know one another by the spirit. And so I had a patient that came to me this past week and asked me, we were talking, said, well, can I pray with you? I'm not going to ever turn down prayer. So I said, well, yes. So he did. He did pray for me, and then I in turn prayed for him. And so, I mean, we felt very comfortable in this, you know, and I think that's the way we should be. We are around believers, you know, and with the same spirit. The spirit realm knows, and you can manufacture an anointing that isn't there. When a real prophet operates in their designated sphere of authority, they get visible results that no one else can touch. Does anyone else feel like they have a calling on them to be a prophet?
This is Elder Russell. Okay.
Yeah.
The thing that I like that what you said is that it's being a prophet is what did you say, occupation.
Uh-huh.
And I look at so many people. They're using the word so loosely today. Yes. Prophet is tonight. We prophesy. And what I'm saying is that from what I read about the prophets and uh-huh. their job, it's not really glamorous.
No.
They went through a bunch of stuff, and we kind of don't know what the deal is now, you know, that people jumping on the – you got to make sure you're called.
Right.
And my husband was saying that John the Baptist lived in the wilderness, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of the prophets got killed, I can remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can remember somebody – one of them prophesied, I can't remember if it was Jeremiah, somebody, and Elisha, and a guy slapped him in the face and said, which way did that come from? What? Tell me which way, you know, did that come from or something like that. And, you know, we need to take, I love what you said about it being an occupation. It's something that breathe and you move. In it, and it's in you, and I just appreciate you saying that. I apologize if I said anything to about saying people saying tonight. But I remember back in the day, tonight, the prophet or the apostle is going to be in town. You need to come. That's fine, and you know, and there are prophets and apostles. But I'm just looking now. It seems like that seems to be a glamorous. Lifestyle, so to speak. If you know, in a Christian lifestyle, that I'm a prophet, it carries a lot of weight with it. It carries a whole lot of weight.
Yeah, and you know, and people these days, we as Christians that sometimes want a title, and we want to be like the world. That's what we're being like. You know, we're dressing up in spiritual. Spiritual roles, like we dress up in natural clothing. You know, we want to be clothed a certain way so we can look good, right? But that role is not to be played with. And I believe that in the end, that there will be consequences behind it. You know, you don't want to portray God's word. You know, that's God Himself speaking through to you. We don't want to do that. Because of the prophet, you are going to be a leader. You don't have to announce your prophetic ministry. You don't have to be called. You don't have to. They don't have to say prophet is so and so and so and so. It speaks for itself. It speaks for itself as you are cultivated into your role as a prophet and acceptance. You know, you're going to know when God is unctioning you. It is time for you to speak. You know what I mean? And whatever God does, He does it decently and in order. And being a prophet involves a governing role in the body of Christ that equips and matures the saints alongside the other gifts of Christ, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And so so we don't want to be too quick to take on roles that God have not given us. We have to be real careful. Now, if you're going to succeed as a leader, you need to deal with the spirit of intimidation. Now, you're going to go through some things when you are called to that office, because many people are going to look at you and say, well, who do they think they are, you know? And so you have to be able to know in your heart that you were called. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, we are not given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And prophets do often deal with the spirit of fear and anxiety in a heightened way, because, you know, they're not sure people are going to accept them. And then sometimes they're not sure they are speaking what thus says the Lord. They allow a fear to enter in. So, and so sometimes, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you a question. Go ahead, though. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Go ahead and ask. Go ahead. We're just talking.
I was just going to ask you about, you know, I was speaking about the prophet, but
uh-huh.
Then I remember Elder Bryson said something about, and the word says that we're to covet covet the best gift, which is prophecy.
Uh-huh.
So my question is, there is a difference? I mean, I guess it is. I guess to walk in the office of a prophet is different than actually having the gift of prophecy, correct?
Yeah, I believe that there is some difference in that. Yeah. So I had that down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a thin line, but it actually is a difference in that. And I will highlight that more on next week about that, okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll highlight more about that on next week.
Go ahead, because we're running time. I wanted to just interject because we will be back next week. We will be back next week, and we'll finish. We may finish up, and again, we may not, because we just depends on these last two, prophecy and the discerning of spirit. That could those are really meaty topics as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, we thank God for each and every person that has listened to the broadcast today, and we pray that it blessed you and it was helpful in just teaching about spiritual gifts. We kind of started the broadcast off with a testimony and talking about miracles coming, tagging on where we had been, talking about the gift of miracles and just how God still works miracles, and then moving into diverse tongues or the gift of tongues and how they use the gift of tongues was used in biblical times, and even how it is still used today, and how the Lord blesses the gift of tongues interpreter, that they interpret the tongues, and then even talking about the gift of prophecy and how it is used and how the Lord blesses. And one thing that I heard Sister Phyllis say, and this was one thing she was talking about, how that they, you know, it's not glamorous, because I remember if we think about Isaiah and some of them, Isaiah was sawn asunder, and they went through something just like the the apostles went through. They were killed in various ways, and just the various things that they went through, and even how Elijah, even though he had just called down fire from Mount Carmel, how the next thing he was hiding from Jezebel, and he was thinking he was a prophet left, and how he went through that mental transition. I'm thinking about that even at the point that he was having an inward fight there, you know, where he felt like that, you know what I'm saying? So just the things that people go through that are gifted and how the enemy attacks them on every hand, and sometimes it ain't all hidey-high and holy-ho. You got to understand that the people of God are going through things, and they are attacked. And everybody don't win every time, but if they don't quit, they will win. And so we're so thankful for God and his mercy and how he operates and how he has mercy on us. Sometimes people stand in judgment, but God does not stand in judgment against us like that. He has mercy on us, and we have to have mercy with one another as well. But anyway, I wanted to, before I get off this line, I want to, if there's anybody out there that does not know the Lord and the pardon of their sins, that today is your day that you can accept Christ as your Savior, and he will come into your life, and you will be saved. He died for your sins on the cross. He took his burdens, took our burdens to the cross with him, and he died for our sins. And so if we accept him as our Savior, then we can have we can be saved, and we can have eternal life. So if you're here today, I'm going to pray this prayer, and then we're going to get off the line. But Heavenly Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believe in you and that your word is true. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and that he died on the cross that I may now have forgiveness for my sins and eternal life. And I believe in my heart that you, Lord God, raised him from the dead. Please, Jesus, forgive me for every sin I have ever committed and done in my heart. Please, Lord, forgive me and come into my heart as a personal Lord and Savior today. I need you to be my Father and my friend. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We believe if you prayed that prayer that you have just joined the body of Christ and you are now a part of God's family, and that please find you a good Bible-believing and teaching church so that you can be fed the word of God. And now if I could ask Elder Russell to close us out in prayer, and then we will see you back here next week on the Prospering Souls podcast, and we will be back at 5 o'clock on next week. God bless you all.
Father, we thank you so much today for sharing the word, Father. We thank you, oh God, that as we spread the word on the table, Father, that we would take what we need, Father. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, today. Father, as we speak and share your word, Father, and your revelation, Father, help us, oh God, to grow in you, Father, that we may become, oh God, more in unity to one another, Father. We may help someone to know you, Lord Jesus. Continue, Father, to bless this radio podcast, Father. And I ask you, Father, since our topic today was tongues and the role of a prophecy, Father, we ask you, oh God, that you bring out that more into our church atmosphere, Father, our tongues and our church atmosphere, Father, because we now need, oh God, more than ever to hear from you, Father. We thank you today, God. We thank you for your word that does not glorify, Lord. And we give you praise and glory today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you all for just being a part of the broadcast today, and we hope that it blessed you. And join us back here next week on the Prospering Souls. God bless you all.
Bye-bye.
Good night. God bless.
Good night.